The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerate.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Pat Creighton and Jason Braddock in for Fred and A.J. Late hits invades the Blitz. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the HRMP listening line, on the text line, on Twitter, at Pete Creighton 1, at Jason Braddock, at Late Hitters. Aaron Raybould on the other side of the glass, the master controls, at Aaron is Blitzed, at ESPN 97.5. On Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. And as we were just explaining to a lot of our Twitch audience, the financial ramifications of Justin Verlander potentially having Tommy John surgery and what it would mean for them next season, because Verlander is in his last season next year at $33 million. You have to replace a front-end starting pitcher, which, by the way, not cheap. You're going to need some money to do that, with a lot of guys getting raises, right? Lance McCullers would be in his final year of arbitration, so he'll get a raise. Carlos Correa is in arbitration, going to get a raise. Olympus Diaz is going to get a raise. You got to pay George Springer, he's a free agent, so you got to pay him a long-term deal, big money. Are you or are you not bringing back Yuli Gurriel? Now, Yuli might come back around $8 million, but needing to replace Justin Verlander next year could possibly spell the end of Michael Brantley's time in Houston, no matter how well he plays, because they might need that money to put towards a starting pitcher. Todd, you're on the Blitz. What's going on, Todd? Todd going once.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hey, there you are, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing, guys?
Doing all right.
Real quick question. I'm not a huge baseball fan. I don't keep up with it so super much. I'm a football guy, but I know that, you know, whenever you bring somebody up from the farm system in a normal season, there's X amount of games or days that they can play in the bigs before they have to go back down, or they lose the season of team control or something of that nature. How is that going to work with COVID if you've got to call up 11 players from the farm system? Is that going to affect their future eligibility and future team control, or how is that going to play out? I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Well, you know, Todd, it's a great question, because a lot of those guys may not necessarily have a whole lot of service time. Because it's an abbreviated season, you're probably not getting a whole lot of service time. Also, keep in mind, they had agreed earlier back in March that if you're a guy who played last year, whether you play or not this year, you're getting a service time. So everybody who's on the 60-man roster is probably getting service time for this year. So from that point, whether you're bringing them up, bringing them down, I believe they're probably already getting credit for the service time. That was one of the parts of the agreement from back in March. But, yeah, there's probably going to be a lot of guys. Now, keep in mind, having 1 year of service time doesn't mean that they have to have them on the major league roster or anything like that. Those guys can still wind up in the minor leagues. And you might see a lot of guys who are, you know, mid-range, not guys that aren't necessarily prospects, going to come up right away. If they had to pay them, say, you know, they got to pay them prorated major league minimum, which is what, $568,000. So you're probably paying them what, maybe $150,000 to $200,000 for the remaining to play the whole year.
I'll trust your math.
It's not that much, you know, grand scheme of things, but it is something that maybe could be an issue as we see that go into next season. But remember, they were all going to get service time no matter what, and that was the whole discussion, you know, before Mookie Betts signed his extension, was, you know, if there's no season, Mookie gets credit for the service time. His contract is up. Dodgers paid to get him, and then they lose him, and he never plays down, never plays an inning for them. That was a possibility. So, for that type of question, I would say they're all getting service time this year, no matter what.
713-780-ESPN. That's 713-780-3776. That gets you in on the phone line, or you can shoot text there as well. We're getting ready to go out to those texts. You can also interact with the show via Twitter as Late Hits is in for the Blitz today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. He's at P. Creighton1, at Aaron is Blitz, at Jason Braddock, and for the entire show, it's at Late Hitters. Also on Twitch, you can interact with the show and watch the show with video format at twitch.tv/ESPN975, and stick around during the breaks to interact with the show as well.
So somebody asked on the text line, does Luna or Hinch ever come back? Now, come back to baseball versus come back to the Astros, I think is important to delineate. Because I don't think Jeff Luno is ever coming back to the Astros.
No, it's not like this is the Patriots where you just stay around and you
just
don't
come
take,
back.
Yeah.
Take I mean, a job, just, fail, come back.
Yeah, you're like you're the Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and Robert Kraft, and it's like 20 years, new scandal. Fine them. New scandal. Take another first-round pick. New scandal. Do we even care anymore? You know, I mean, it's so funny. In football, these guys never lose their jobs, and actually, their pedigree and their reputation continues to be uplifted. You ask a lot of people, Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. You realize they got busted multiple times for multiple cheating scandals. They
ring.
Drafted a murderer, and don't tell me, well, yeah, they didn't know he was a murderer. Urban Meyer had a direct link to Bill Belichick, and NFL front offices know everything a prospect does at college, high school, even before that. They knew all of the red flags around Aaron Hernandez, which is why he lasted until the fourth round. This organization broke every rule, cheated every year around the block. Their first scandal lasted the first 8 years in which they won three Super Bowls. And they've done it, and they've won a Super Bowl once every 3 years for the past two decades. And these guys are still in place. Here in the Astros, Hinch is gone. Luno is gone. It's the worst cheating scandal ever. Stealing signs? We had Richard Justice on last week, and I had to bite my tongue Friday because I don't know if you booked him, Fred or AJ, and I didn't want to upset somebody else's guest. But Richard Justice acted like it was the worst crime ever committed in any sports, and that's why no one gives the Astros credits for going back to the World Series in 2019 and losing in Game 7. They almost won another World Series, and everyone's acting as if, oh, the Houston Astros, we'll see if they come back and prove it this year. Wait, so you believe everything from Rob Manfred's report, even the cover-up the Red Sox and the Yankees you don't have any problems with, but you believe everything about the Astros in the report. You believe everything about the Astros that wasn't in the report about buzzers and every other rumor that's made up. But the other stuff that's in the report that says we found no proof and didn't believe the Astros cheated past 2017. So none in 2018, none in 2019. They go to the World Series, play seven games, and I asked Richard Justice, why are people acting like if the Astros go out there and win this year, they prove everybody wrong? They did that last year before we knew about the scandal. Oh, well, they don't believe them. So you don't believe the Rob Manfred report?
I don't think Rich is telling you he doesn't believe it. I think he's telling you the perception around the league.
Richard Justice, go back and listen to the audio from Friday.
I know Richard pretty well.
He said it was one of the worst things in baseball. I just bit my tongue because it wasn't our guest, or I would have went back and forth with him. I'm like, I don't want to butt heads with one of AJ.
No, Richard is my guest. Okay. I've known Richard for 7 years.
The next time we have him on, we will bring that up because I'm going to hold his, you know, I'm going to hold him to the fire.
And
because
the idea that what they did, I mean, look, they cheated. All right, everybody else cheated.
It's science.
The only issue is that baseball didn't have the onions to hold everybody's feet to the fire the way they did the Astros. They didn't have the fortitude, and you know what kind of fortitude I'm talking about. They didn't have the fortitude to go through with it. Right? They hammered the Astros. They were all proud of themselves.
But
and
they
then it was
the steroid
oh, wait,
era again.
Hold on. We're getting a real lot of negative publicity and negative press, and this is spiraling out of control. all right, we probably don't want to do this again. We have no control over the situation. And that's why they gave us that horse poo with the Red Sox of one rogue employee.
Right.
Yeah, one single rogue employee.
For no benefit for
anyone.
After
he just told us with the Astros report how every single person had to be involved, how everybody had to know or should have known. For the Red Sox, yeah, it was only one person and nobody else knew. They totally changed their tune from you had to know because everybody knew to nobody knew. It was only one dude.
It was just one guy. He was doing it for research, not for the Red Sox.
The same team that was using Apple Watches to signal the signs now was only had one singular rogue employee. It was a total snow job that, you know, all the national guys had to put out there because that's how they get their info from, you know, Major League Baseball's league offices. And if you make enemies there, you're out of the box. And then you don't get any more scoops. And then you lose your job. No one wants to lose their job. But everybody, look, I pointed out, you know, Jeff Passan was writing articles back in 2017 about how every team in the league was installing spy cameras on the pitcher's mound, the catcher's box, the third base coach's box, and the opposing team's dugouts. Things that specifically were not supposed to be allowed. Every team did it. It was out there in the open. Baseball didn't do a damn thing. Just like baseball didn't do a damn thing about steroids because they were reaping the benefits. Baseball never does a damn thing about its crappy umpires because they don't care because all they care about is your money. In that regard, baseball is no different than the NFL. You are a checkbook and you write yourself to them. That's it. All the other stuff is irrelevant. We got off on a little tangent. But does Jeff Luhnow ever come back to the Astros? No. And in fact, I don't know that Jeff Luhnow is ever a general manager ever again. Maybe he works in somebody's, you know, data department. But Jeff Luhnow will never be a GM again. A.J. Hinch, I think, will be a manager. And it's just a matter of will he be a manager here or somewhere else. But I do believe A.J. Hinch will be back. The Blitz. Do what it takes, hypocritical. Leak it just
a court. I want to be the parenthetical. You're listening to The Blitz. The Blitz.
On ESPN. 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock in for Fred and AJ on the Blitz. 713-780 ESPN, 713-780-3776. On the HRMP listener line, on the text line, on Twitter, at Pete Creighton1, at Jason Braddock, at Late Hitters, at Aaron is Blitzed. Somebody else said, you know, with the number one, I guess it's supposed to be offense or defense, just have pitchers who can put the ball in play. Okay. Well, that's great if the ball's not coming off the bat at 117 miles an hour and going 397 feet. You know, you've got to be able to get out. And that is why, since the beginning of existence in baseball, pitching. If you can't pitch, you can't win. All right, no team in baseball ever wins giving up 7 runs a game. You got to be able to pitch. And you've got to be able to get those innings from somebody. And right now, I would tell you, the Astros and, you know, the idea of Dusty being a pitcher destroyer is bunk. But I will say that, like most managers have been around a long time, he is more partial to veterans than unproven guys. And I think that probably stands for most managers. Dusty's going to have to get over that. He's going to have to trust his kids because they got better stuff. They're not proven, but they got better stuff than some of these also-ran veterans that are in his pen. He's going to have to trust his kids. And we're going to find out, what are these kids made out of? How many of them are really cut out to be big league pitchers? And how many of them are going to be like 4A type players who are good in AAA, can never make it to the majors? We're going to find out, because they're not going to have a choice. They're going to have to pitch them. And if you got to pitch those kids, at least you're pitching them for 55 games and not 155 games. You know, there's we all of a sudden we got a truckload of things came through on the text line. The conspiracy theorists are out. How long before the East Coast media says COVID-19 is why the Yankees don't win the title? I don't know. Have you watched SportsCenter lately? Are they working on that? Somebody else thinks the Red Sox are going to pay George Springer and not the Astros. Well, if you noticed, the Red Sox just traded Mookie Betts because they couldn't pay him. So will they have money all of the sudden to pay George Springer, and would he want to go there? I don't see Springer wanting to leave the Astros. If the Astros make Springer a competitive offer, I think he signs it. He's the heart and soul of the team. He has been literally since he came up. You heard the comments from Dusty Baker after the games on Friday and Saturday about how the team likes to have a good time after the win, you know, Club Astros. That's George Springer. He's the guy that they asked to come back and get in uniform and be in the dugout when he's hurt. So they are going to do everything they can. Jim Crane is already on record saying he wants George Springer as an Astro next season. Not, you know, the lip service they did, you know, with Garrett Cole, where we knew he wanted to go to free agency and he wanted to get paid like an absolute monster. George Springer is not going to get that kind of a contract. I think the Astros are going to pay him. It might affect Michael Brantley. It might affect Yuli Gurriel. But Springer's going to get paid. This one a little more up your alley, Jason. Someone wants to know your thoughts on Deshaun Watson's comments about Patrick Mahomes' contract and how it's a different situation for him.
Man, very, very strong comments there from Deshaun Watson. As one of those situations where it's more about what he didn't say than what it is that he said. I can actually pull up the quote here. So instead of paraphrasing it, give me a second to actually pull this up. And did you see the comments, Creighton?
I haven't even seen. I did see them. You sent them.
Yeah, I sent them to you because there was a message attached to this. And actually, before the show, I had put in a comment from, do me a favor, Google Deshaun's comments, because I want to read them in comparison and just what a difference 5 months made. Look up Deshaun's comments from after the playoff loss, where people asked, does this put Bill O'Brien on the hot seat? And how adamant he was that he had O'Brien's back, right?
That was before Bill O'Brien stabbed him in the back and traded his favorite receiver.
All right, so which comments do you have? You have the Deshaun's latest comments?
I have the Deshaun comments you sent me.
Okay. Before we read that, you know, go ahead and read that one. I'm going to find the comments from Deshaun Watson after Bill O'Brien, the Kansas City playoff loss, and they're very different. Now, obviously, a lot has changed in the 6 months since then. Since he made the O'Brien comments, but this was made, I think, on he was speaking with Michael Vick on a podcast, right? And so go ahead and hit those comments.
Okay, so that's these ones here, correct?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, so it's great when I have Jason send me stuff. I don't actually have to do the work. He, meaning Mahomes, feels that organization and himself can win a lot of championships, especially being with Andy Reid, and things like that. He feels like that's his home where he wants to be for a long period of time. He has that solid background where he can trust and know. And I know a lot of things change in the NFL all the time, but I know this is going to be the core of this organization, solid. My situation, and I don't want to say anything too crazy, is different than his. Signing a deal for 10 years, you know, I have to speak with my agent on that. Sit down and think. What do I want in my career? Where I want to be for a long period of time. I love Houston. I love the organization. I love the teammates and all the players. All that stuff is always changing. Yeah, I'm excited about it, and I've been talking to my agent about it each day, trying to get exactly what we want and make sure it's the best deal because things change so much, but you've got to get everything you can out of that first one, meaning first free agent contract.
Yeah, these comments should scare you. If you're a Texans fan, I'm not going to sugarcoat you. These comments should scare you. And let me go back and read the comments. This is a far cry from one. Deshaun Watson came off the field into the press conference after the Texans blew the 24-0 lead to the Chiefs, right? He's asked about Bill O'Brien if he's the right coach. He says, there's no doubt, and this is Deshaun Watson, I mean, you might have doubt, but there's no doubt. I mean, I love that man. I'm going to play hard for that man. Y'all can say whatever you want to say through all the media and all the writing, but as long as I am at quarterback, he's cool with me. He's got my heart. He's going to get all of my 110% every time I step on the field. So y'all can say whatever, but I'll always be rooting for that man and going to play hard for him. That was him after the Chiefs loss. What you read tells me all the speculation surrounding DeAndre Hopkins' trade, how Deshaun Watson took it, every move Bill O'Brien take, there's been a complete 180. This was not taken out of context. Deshaun Watson is a smart young man. And before he goes on any podcast or speaks publicly to any outlet, he understands since high school, since he set all the Georgia high school passing records, anything he says has been a quote. It has been put in newspapers, online. When he went to Clemson and won a national title, anything he said was a quote. You don't think as one of the face of the future NFL, Deshaun Watson knew all these comments would be viewed by the whole world, all of his fans, all of his teammates, and yes, Bill O'Brien. He purposely mentioned Andy Reid in the same way we mentioned Andy Reid and how they built that offense for him. He purposely says that his situation's different from mine, from what he sees himself in the future, that situation. Then he goes on and basically shows love to the entire city of Houston, to the entire organization, to his teammates and all the players. Now, I guess technically you can say, well, he covered Bill O'Brien in the organization. Stop. The guy that spoke so poetically and so emotionally about Bill O'Brien as a head coach in January would have purposely put in Bill O'Brien's name. So he knew it wasn't a slight if he wasn't sending a message. And yes, he talked about his agent in there because I can guarantee they're having conversations about, hey, if O'Brien's in Houston, we wait for our payday from somewhere else. Because they know you can manipulate O'Brien into doing what you want. Ask DeAndre Hopkins. When Hop knew that O'Brien didn't have his back, then he went and said, hey, this guy's such a hothead, I can push his buttons and get traded out here. And he did it so to where the Texans got the biggest laughing stock of a return on any top of the league wide receiver in the history of the NFL.
See, this to me was not one of those like Gibbs head slap type of insults. This was a Mike Tyson uppercut.
This is
kind of insult.
I owe you.
He name dropped Andy Reid.
Yes, thank you.
And deliberately omitted Bill O'Brien.
You named the other quarterback's head coach and didn't name your own. That's not a slip up for a guy who speaks publicly for the last, what, 5-6 years?
You know, this wasn't a slap upside the head. This was an uppercut to the chin and a kick in the nuts.
Well, that's a hell of an uppercut to that chin.
Oh, it's tough to miss that chin. But that is...
Punch him in the ass, Deshaun.
Front or back? You guys, you hit us with a lot of questions on the text line. We'll get to as many of them as we can. Coming up next, Patrick and Jason in for Fred and AJ. It's The Blitz.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, Jason Brack here. Late hit sitting in for The Blitz before we get back into this episode of The Blitz. And we will be in, me and Pete Creighton, on Tuesday and Wednesday as well. Back into our normal time slot of 7 to 9 Thursday and Friday with Fred and AJ joining back on The Blitz Thursday and Friday. I know you guys will be glad to have them back as they put on one of the most entertaining shows in the city. We appreciate being able to sit in for them today. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. If you want to text the show or get in on the phone line, you can also head over to twitch.tv/ESPN. ESPN 975, and on Twitter he's at pcrate1, at Jason Braddock, at Aaron is Bliss, and for the show at Late Hitters as well. But first, let me tell you about our good friend Dr. Ben Salento. If you've listened to Late Hits for a while, you know about 8 months or so ago, P. Creighton and myself had solved major health issues that we've been struggling with for the past 20 years. He's had sinus issues. I've had sinus issues. My personal story is back in 2003, I actually had a sinus surgery. Month later, I'm back in the ear, nose, and throat office getting pain to take away the infections as already back. 2017, right here in Houston, had a balloon sinuplasty. Same story as the previous 17 years, to where after every surgery, every treatment, anything I did, I would find myself within a month or 2 months back in the ENT office getting a treatment for another sinus infection. Dr. Ben Salento explained this to me in layman's term, unlike anyone else ever had. When I went to their state-of-the-art facilities, Texas Sinus and Snoring, conveniently located right here on the north side in Houston, took me to the sinus CT scan right there in the office, brought the imaging back in the room, and him himself, not an intern or assistant, but Dr. Ben Salento, put the imaging up on the big screen and explained it to me again in layman's terms so I understood everything. And the one thing he did no one else has ever done in any medical field, he showed me this area that's deep in the nasal passages that most surgeons don't trust themselves in going in there to operate. He said, I'm going to get that out of there. Everything else out there, it's going to be like pre-2000, 20 years ago, before you even knew what sinus infections were. Even he kept his word. Week later, had the surgery, he's back at work. 8 months has gone by from then to today. I haven't had a sinus infection. I haven't even had a sinus headache in the last 8 months. It's the best decision I made. It'll be the best decision you make. Break the cycle and breathe, and go set up a consultation over at Texas Sinus and Snoring with Dr. Ben Salento. That's TexasSinusAndSnoring.com.
Or give him a call, 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313. You don't have to live with sinus pain or snoring or sleep apnea. You do need to call Dr. Ben Salento at Texas Sinus and Snoring. 346-413-9313. Tell him Patrick and Jason sent you.
We've been baseball heavy for the first hour and a half today on the Blitz as Late Hit sits in. We'll continue to keep you up to date with the Astros as they're getting ready to throw out the first pitch in the next, 30 minutes or so, with Josh James toeing the heel here in Houston as the Astros try to take 3 out of 4 to start the season in the Mariners. And as we mentioned earlier, Astros win yesterday. They're the only undefeated team left in baseball through 3 games. That would have been crazy to see as the Padres dropped their undefeated record yesterday as well.
Thanks, Devo.
We'll get to more Astros later. We're going to get into some NBA. We're going to get into some NFL, the Deshaun Watson latest, the Jamal Adams trade. Some correlations been made with that and Bill O'Brien. We'll set the record straight on both of those trades. But right now, you said on top of the Twitch comments coming in, you've got a lot of text coming in as well.
Yeah, so somebody asked, they said how disgusted they were by all the social media comments when everybody thought Justin Verlander is going to be out for the year. That texter says they understand people want to hate the Astros, but you should never want to see players get injured.
Agreed.
And I actually had a back and forth on this.
I started that. I saw you jumped in on that with the Titans beat writer.
Terry McCormick.
Yes.
Who is a Titans beat writer.
Yep.
He is TitanInsider.com. He's on a show on 560 AM out there. And he's on their local Fox affiliate. And this guy was all like giddy over Justin Verlander, the report that he was going to be out for the year with an elbow injury. And I called him out on it. I'm like, dude, you're in the media and you're rooting and happy for a player who got injured. Keep that same energy when somebody does it to the Titans.
Yeah, then he tried to reverse course.
And then he tried the backpedal of all backpedals.
I'm not rooting for injury. You called it karma when Justin Verlander got injured, like minutes after you heard he was injured. You called it karma. And my first quote tweet to him, to his comments, was like, karma, Justin Verlander still pitches? And I just hashtagged it pandering, because we're seeing this from so much guys in NFL circles, beat writers, guys in NBA circle beat writers. All of them are commenting on it, and all they're doing is just recycling the same old uninformed takes from the Major League Baseball beat writers that are carrying the water for Rob Manfred.
So here are the other things that Titan beat writer came out with. that but I said because I had said to him, I said, so everybody's been cheating, only the Astros got punished. So what is the sliding scale of ethics? Only if you get punished or if you cheat, because he was on them about cheating. And he says, well, who else has been caught banging on cans and wearing buzzers? Well, banging on the trash can is not in and of itself illegal, and nobody has been caught wearing buzzers.
In fact,
the commissioner of baseball said, no, there were no buzzers on multiple occasions. But here's a guy who's a member of the media and is a beat writer for a football team throwing logic and facts right out the freaking window
right.
for his BS Twitter take.
Well, come on. You know why he's doing it. He's a Titans beat writer. He knows most of the people in Tennessee want to hate
better.
Houston.
Oh, it gets better.
Keep on. Did he throw out more false John Boy narratives? Better.
So then he says, so you don't think Altuve was wired when he hit that home run? He just happened to know that Chapman, who throws 103, was going to throw a changeup on the first pitch. So again, we gotta correct him. Because A, Chapman was struggling. Mm-hmm. He couldn't throw his fastball for a strike. He just walked Georgie on for
right.
him. All right. He's a guy who's given up homers in big spots before. There's no buzzers. There's video proof that there's no buzzers.
Well,
the commissioner said there's no buzzers. You're pushing out blatant lies. Also, because you know facts are supposed to matter for us in the media, he threw a slider, not a changeup. Mm. Then he challenges me. It was a changeup. I have to go pull up the play-by-play. Oh, okay. Well, the guys on TV must have said it was a change.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's annoying because – and I didn't go to journalism school. But when I started working in this field, I felt – you know, I did my research. I studied, and I knew plagiarism out the window. Then Twitter came along and – then it became like, hey, just take all my tweets and treat it like, dude, I was watching, because we joke about this all the time on the show, how we'll see stuff we tweet and then it'll be repurposed. Like Daryl Morey, I had this tweet last year during the Rockets. You remember when he got in trouble? Daryl Morey retweeted some MAGA guy. And I'm like, okay, so why are you upset with that? Then I go and see the tweet, and the tweet that the MAGA guy sent to Daryl Morey that got him in trouble was my tweet. He just copied and pasted everything. He just cut and pasted my whole tweet, took it, tweeted to Morey, and then Morey reposted, and then Morey gets in trouble because he retweeted some MAGA guy or used his stats. I don't know
who
why.
Who stole your stats?
Who just stole mine and sent it over. Well, I'm watching Kendrick Perkins because my brother loves all of these morning debate shows. So anytime I go over there and try to kill time, he'll put on one of these morning debate shows.
Morning stupidity.
Yeah. And so he puts it on just to see the debate back and forth. And there's Kendrick Perkins and Max Kellerman arguing back and forth over James Harden. And Kellerman said James Harden is not clutch in the playoffs. So what do you think Kendrick Perkins used to show that Harden's, you know, it's a false narrative? He used my exact tweet of taking James Harden's stats against the Warriors and mentioned that Durant only missed one game next to what Kawhi Leonard's stats against the Warriors in which he won finals MVP, the exact same stats on what both of them did. And
KD
mentioned
played 12 minutes.
KD played 12 minutes and Klay missed too. I'm like, listen, guys, I don't mind, but like 5-6 years ago when I used to do all this research and put stats out there, people...
Can you put my Twitter handle on the TV screen, please? Thank you.
People,
and you're welcome.
Share. You don't have to put my Twitter handle, but if you like it enough, it's worth stealing. Just hit the retweet button. It's a lot easier. But over the last 3 or 4 years, Twitter's become repeaters greater than reporters.
Can,
so
can I get a hat tip at Jason Baranek? Is that too much to ask for? Now, to go back to our friend Terry McCormick, the Titans beat writer who throws out all this nonsense and BS and false narratives, we got to the ultimate reason why he's putting out the lies.
He's a John Boy fan.
Two words. Go Yankees.
Oh, he's a Yankees fan.
He's a Yankees fan.
Now it all makes sense.
And what are the Yankees and MLB doing right now? Trying to hide the evidence from a court on baseball's catching the Yankees doing other additional cheatings?
Oh, yeah. But and nobody even talks about it. Nobody talks about the Red Sox getting brushed on the rug. Oh, lone gunman theory, you know, the magic bullet. Nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about the Yankees and Major League Baseball both fighting so this letter doesn't get out to show all the different ways the Yankees cheat. And so, yeah, I didn't know that. So that makes all the sense in the world now that he's a Titans beat writer, pandering to his crowd, and he's a Yankees fan, pandering to that fan base.
He's pretty damn lame.
Nice.
We got lots more coming up. You guys got a ton of questions. We want to make sure we interact with everybody we can on the show today. But coming up next, we'll also have the gem of the day.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, Patrick Creighton, Jason Brad again for Fred and A.J. on The Blitz. And it is time for the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the gem of the day.
I'm not singing,
Jason. Oh, the Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
Da, 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 da. Now, I know a lot of times the gem of the day is usually like somebody does something like a dumbass or whatnot, and they mock it and make fun of it. So this is a little bit different.
Uh-oh, you pulling an audible?
I'm calling an audible here because, you know, you used to live in South Carolina.
That's true.
And then you've lived in a couple of other places.
Yes.
And ultimately moved to Texas and decided this is where I want to live.
Well, I moved to Texas when I was 19. And then I moved a couple other places. Yeah, I stayed in North Carolina, Idaho, a couple different places.
I grew up in New York, lived in New York most of my life, and then moved to Texas and decided this is where I wanted to live.
Sure.
Well, apparently we are not alone. And Joe Rogan has decided he is leaving L.A., moving to Texas.
Did he give reasons why?
He said, I just want to go somewhere where you have a little bit more freedom. He probably also doesn't enjoy their insane tax rates or the fact that a price of gas in L.A. is like double what it is here.
Right. Cost of living.
Oh, you can buy a 4,000 square foot house in Katy for like, what, 400,000? That same house in LA has a one in front of the 400.
Oh, absolutely.
He went on his podcast, the Joe Rogan Experience. And he said that in the next couple of weeks, he's leaving LA and moving to Texas. He said, I just want to go somewhere in the center of the country, somewhere it's easier to travel to both places, somewhere you have a little bit more freedom. When you look at the traffic and the economic despair, the homelessness that's accelerated radically over the last 6, 7, 10 years, I think there's too many people here. He then said, regarding the leadership in the city of LA, I think it's not tenable. I don't think it's manageable. And every mayor does a poop job, he didn't say poop, of doing it because I don't think anybody could do a great job of it. I think there's certain things you're going to have to deal with when you have a population of whatever the bleep LA is. And he said that because of the city's very restrictive coronavirus laws, that's another reason why he's looking to move to Texas. So wow. On one end,
that's a lot to take in.
I feel like, hey, here's another celebrity, well-known guy who's like, yeah, Texas greater than, like, you name it. But did Joe Rogan just like go half MAGA on us with,
I think,
well, so. There's stupid coronavirus laws and
that's what I was about to ask. I know Joe Rogan, obviously. It just seems the more I talk to people, like everybody swears by his podcast and they swear by his comedy. So I gave his comedy a chance. I was like, nah, that's going to be a hard pass for me. Gavis, I like him on MMA, if that matters, you know. But then I'm not a big podcast guy, I guess. You know, I'm over that 40 age. I just never got into the podcast and everything, going back and listening to all the stuff. So I don't know. But Aaron, I think you listen to Joe Rogan's podcast quite a bit. Now, is this probably fall more in line with his political beliefs, or what do you think it is? Like, California is usually viewed as a blue state, right, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, extreme Texas, blue state.
Texas a red state?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the gun laws, I'm assuming, does that seem like that kind of fit to his narrative,
they
too?
Are much more strict. He's much more of a bow hunter.
Okay.
He likes guns.
Okay.
But he's much more of a bow hunter. But it's not surprising that he wants to do this because, I mean, Elon Musk has said it himself.
Yeah, go to
Austin.
There's
too many regulations. Yeah. There's too much. If you're trying to run a business, they nickel and dime the taxes out of every single thing you make. And while he's living in California, he signed a $100 million deal with Spotify recently to carry his podcast. You know, the California government's like, hey, we're going to just take about 40% of that every time you get a paycheck.
If he moves his permanent residence, I don't know how this works, but if he moves his permanent residence to Texas, does that become his new tax bracket? Or if he still owns,
as long as he moves the company with him, that
so he would be bringing everything with him. All right, yep. So this is probably, is it fair to say this was probably more of a not complete political statement, but a little bit political statement, a little bit financial, and a little bit of just rather wanting to live in Texas?
I guess a little bit of political. I mean, he's actually pretty liberal on most of his political takes anyways. But lately, as he's gotten older and the more, I mean, for a while, everybody said he was an alt-righter for some stupid reason. But he's become more libertarian in the idea that he doesn't want anybody, just everybody leave him the hell alone. Whether your government, just let him do his own thing. He doesn't really care.
Okay.
Let everybody do their own thing and everybody stay out of the way. So I think that's more of what it is. He wants to be able to do whatever the hell he wants.
Isn't he a weed guy, though?
He is, which I was going to bring up to you.
Okay.
That,
there you go. That's the libertarian.
He's bringing that kind of incentive to this state, even though he only employs probably like 20 people. Bringing that kind of incentive and that kind of tax money that he still has to pay, I'd like to bet in the next 5 years it gets legalized.
I'm good with it. Legal. I'll become a Joe Rogan podcast. I actually listen to every podcast if he does two things when he comes to Texas: bring legalized weed to Texas and bring legalized gambling to Texas. The second one is probably, well, I guess both of them are just,
what do you think we get
myself
first, legalized weed or legalized gambling?
Gambling.
Weed.
Wow, really?
Yep.
I thought for sure you would say gambling. How many states have legalized gambling now? I know it's a lot less than weed, right?
It's like 22.
Is that much? Good Lord.
I think sports gambling.
Right.
Because it's not full casino, but sports gambling. I think we're almost at 22.
Well, as soon as we get legalized gambling here, we have a new sponsor that's ready to sign on. A big name sponsor. So, again, yes, it's for my own reasons, but bring the weed and the betting, and then I would side with Joe Rogan. Just leave me the hell alone. All y'all do whatever you want. But if I got weed and legalized gambling, I don't give a damn what any of y'all do.
So Joe Rogan says Texas better than L.A., California. I got to agree with that.
Well, catch up, Mustard.
That's our Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Bum, 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 bum. Now, on Twitch, Penny asked, would you start Jeff Green instead of Gordon? Because
they're,
I know,
after my
this,
heart,
this is something that you have,
yes,
talked a lot about.
Come on in.
Since they got Jeff Green.
Come on in. I've been saying this for 6 months now. That when they switched to small ball, loved to switch to small ball. I was all for trading Clint Capella, and people thought I was crazy and everything. Loved to switch to small ball, bring in Covington. The one thing I've been saying for 6 months, I would change. And I tweeted again before the game, or when the game was starting yesterday. And if you missed the game, they played Ja Morant. Oh, Ja about started that. Don't get me sidetracked on Ja Morant. I'll go back to that.
Why,
in a second.
Did he teabag somebody again?
Beginning of the game, they throw an oop to Ja, and he cocks it back, both elbows behind his head like he's about to just go on the poster, but just misses, just like when he almost ended Kevin Love's career early this year when he Vince Carter'd him, jumping straight over him and barely missed that dunk. Very, very similar in how close they were.
Like, if you're Kevin Love and you're 6'10", and some guy puts his stuff in your face,
you think
we're fighting.
Oh, fighting. Okay.
We're fighting.
I thought we were thanking him. I mean, just depends. Personal preference. 2020. I don't know what Kevin Love likes. Maybe he's like changing jerseys at the end of the game. Like, hey, here's my jersey for balls in the jaws.
Could you imagine somebody trying to do that to Draymond Green?
Oh, he's definitely taking one of the testicles with him.
Dude, I mean, they might get, you know, like Stone Cold Stunner at the end of that.
Absolutely. And I'd approve it. But yes, back to Penny's question. The lineup I wanted to see, and I still want to see as they go into this, Russ Westbrook, James Harden, Robert Covington at the three, using his great 3-and-D wing defender, especially when you line up against the Clippers and you got Kawhi and Paul George there. His defense in that series is going to matter so much more. And I want to come back to Covington because I saw something in yesterday's scrimmage that I loved from Covington, something I've been wanting to see out of him. P.J. Tucker in the starting lineup would shift back from the five down to the four in my starting lineup, and Jeff Green would be your starting center at five. Jeff Green's getting a little long in the tooth, so you're probably saying, well, he's not going to go play 35 minutes. You're absolutely right. He won't. But you start him to get the extra length and height out there with Covington, Tucker, and Jeff Green. Then Green only starts and plays 20 to 24 minutes in that starting center role, but that frees up 20 to 24 minutes a night. P.J. Tucker's not having to bang as the center, as that five, right? And it also spaces out even farther because Jeff Green has a three-point shot you have to respect. Eric Gordon goes back into a six-man, and remember, at all times, you've got either Russ Westbrook and James Harden on the court together or one of them still on the court. So when one of them's still on the court, Eric Gordon's coming in, you've got another guy that's got 50-point night caliber as your number two options to run with your other MVP when the other MVP is out of the game. And then, like I said, one Green goes out, Tucker shifts back to that five. So he's not banging. The wear and tear on his body for these eight games and then into the playoff is minimized. You get extra hype in your starting unit with Jeff Green to start the first half and the second half. And then I just think it allots everything to fall more into place. And Ben McLemore, as we said back in January, has to be that seventh or eighth man. I think we had him as the eighth man in that rotation. We had him ahead of Daniel House and Damari Carroll and all these other guys. And you're seeing why. What he's doing from distance is just an added huge plus to this Rockets offense.
And we'll get back into the Rockets in a little bit. But coming up next, there was a huge trade made over the weekend between the Jets and the Seahawks. Mm. And some people are saying it exonerates Bill O'Brien. Next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and college football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.